Okay, I'd like to call this estimates to order, please. And I'd like to bring the committee's attention to the minutes dated for June the 8th, 2021. I ask for someone to move those minutes. Okay, Minister Bragg, so move those minutes, and I don't need a seconder for that. I just want to say that, so it's 9:02, so we'll probably take a break about 10:30. I just want to put that on the record for those that are on the other side of the screen here for about 10 minutes at that time. Let's see if there's anything else. Substitutes. So we do have some substitutes here today. We have substituting for Buren Grand Bank, Fogo Islands, Cape Friels, Minister Derek Bragg. We have substituting for St. George's Humber, MHA Reed, Mount Sio, Minister Sarah Studley. We have substituting for Placentia West Bellevue, MHA Helen Conway Ottenheimer. And we have substituting for St. John's Center, Torngat Mountains, Leela Evans. So I will ask. So just want to remind you before we start here, ask you to wait till your light comes on, then identify yourself, and if your light doesn't come on, if you could just give a little wave so they could see you and then they'll be able to identify you. We have quite the crew here this morning, so I'm going to ask the minister to introduce those who are with us and start estimates.
Thank you very much. Good morning, everybody. Thanks for being here today. For the record, I'm John Hogan, Minister of Justice and Public Safety and Attorney General. I want to provide you all with some suggestions on how to handle the questions here today. I'll take your questions, of course, but when necessary, I will take the liberty to pass your questions to one of the many department officials here and invite them to fill in details, as they are the experts of the content in the department. I would like to acknowledge the officials that are unable to join us today from our courts and police services. I would like to thank them for their hard work and thank those that have stepped in today on their behalf. I think now would be a good time to do introductions, so if we can probably start down here at the end and go down the line, and we'll stake around.
Jerry Smith, Assistant Deputy Minister, Public Safety and Correctional Services.
Denise Woodrow, Assistant Deputy Minister of Legal Services.
Andrew Green, Departmental Controller.
Dennis Mahoney, Deputy Minister of Justice and Public Safety and Deputy Attorney General.
Heather Jacobs, Advisor, Justice and Public Safety.
Lloyd Strickland, Director of Public Prosecutions.
Kerry Sears, Sheriff's Office, Manager of Equipment Training and Organization Development.
Susan Foss, Registrar of the Supreme Court, standing in for Shelley Oregon, the Chief Executive Officer of the Court of Appeal and Supreme Court.
Kim Harding, Executive Director of Roland Flank Constabulary, standing in for Chief Patrick Roach.
Ellie Martin, Director of Policy and Strategic Planning.
Dan Chafe, Superintendent of Prisons.
Charlene Simmons, Strategic Policy Analyst.
Thomas Hayward, Manager of Budgeting.
Leslie Clark, Director of Communications.
Emily Jane Gillingham, Media Relations Manager.
Glenda Ellis, Executive Assistant to the Minister.
Take a few minutes before we get to the questions to just provide some highlights in the package that has been handed to you this morning. The total budget for the Department of Justice and Public Safety this year is approximately
Minister,
200.
We're just wondering if you wanted to say a few words, but before you start in estimates, we need to call the numbers. Go ahead, call the numbers.
Do I? Yeah. Okay. Either way, yeah.
All right.
So we are proceeding according to subhead. Okay, so executive and support services.
1.1.01 to 1.1.03 inclusive carry. Okay.
I don't know how long I can keep relying on this. I'm new.
That's okay. We're good.
What's that? So the total budget for the Department of Justice and Public Safety this year is approximately $273 million. Budget decisions this year include almost $21 million for the new province-wide radio system that will enable emergency responders to communicate in a timely manner with one another. an additional $17 million in annual funding to support the work of the RCMP in Newfoundland and Labrador, the first big increase they have seen in almost a decade. More than $1.8 million is allocated for fire protection vehicle and firefighting equipment. $1 million in additional funding for the NL Search and Rescue Association, which stems from recommendation from the Ground Search and Rescue Inquiry. $326,000 for the drug treatment course. Almost $400,000 to expand the family violence intervention course. $4 million for the inquiry into the treatment experiences and outcomes of VINU in the child protection system. In response to a request from the provincial court, this year's budget will include funding to establish one judicial position that will travel and be deployed as necessary to other court centers and circuits as needed to help address areas of concern where there is an increase in demand for extrajudicial resources. The Supreme Court Family Division will be allocated funding for two court officer positions. The funding will assist in the process of establishing and filling these positions to put the department in a position to engage the federal government on its commitment to appoint an additional federally funded judge. As of March 31st, 2022, across the department, there are 1,655 total PCNs, position control numbers, and of those, 1,355 are full-time staff, 269 are temporary, and 41 are on contracts. These numbers do not include the RCMP. I'm sure as we go through this, we will get requests to provide information, and anything we provide to one MHA who asked for it during this process, we will endeavor to provide it to you all. With that said, ready to get started with some questions.
All right, we'll start with the official opposition.
Thank you, Minister and Chair. I must say, first of all, this has always been a valuable experience for me in terms of the whole, process. I've been always impressed. This is my fourth estimates. I've been always impressed with the expertise and the knowledge base from the government officials, and I'm sure that that will continue this estimates. I also look forward to to what we hear today. I thank you all for your attendance, and I also ask for your patience in case there is any repetition. I'll try my best not to ask repetitive questions, and thank you. Minister, can you please outline the department's attrition plan?
Yeah, so I'll pass that over to Mr. Green.
Andrew Green. So the Department of Justice and Public Safety, our attrition plan has not changed from last year. We still have two positions that we need to achieve through attrition, and we weren't able to achieve that this year, partially due to executive turnover and, in order to achieve attrition, we would need to have wholesome conversations with our executives. So we're hopeful that we will have to achieve those two positions this current fiscal year.
So did you say there were positions that have been removed this year through attrition? Sorry, I didn't.
We would have had attrition positions part of our plan from last year that were that we would have removed this year, but they were part of our last year's plan. The timing of it was that they occurred this year for the removal.
Okay, thank you. How many retirements have occurred in the last year?
Andrew Green, there were 48 retirements in 2021-22, and the total retirement cost was approximately $1.6
million. Okay, thank you. And with respect to vacancies, how many vacancies are not filled in the department?
Andrew Green, as of March 28th, there were 121 vacant positions.
Thank you. Have there been any positions eliminated? And if so, what are they?
Andrew Green, no positions eliminated outside of attrition.
Okay, thank you. Any layoffs occurred in the last year?
Andrew Green, there have been no layoffs outside of...
And
there have
what
been no
about,
layoffs, sorry.
Okay, thank you. What about new hires? Have there been any new hires take place in the last year?
Andrew Green, there were 89 new hires in 2021-22.
Okay. I'm just curious about the, I know that the minister spoke about the employees, but how many contractual and short-term employees are there in the department?
Andrew Green. So we have 41 contractual positions currently. And there are 269 temporary positions.
And what about long-term vacancies? Do you have any in the department? In other words, like positions that have been vacant more than 6 months.
Of the 121 vacant positions, there would be an allocation of those that would be vacant greater than 6 months. But I don't have the exact number of positions that are greater than 6 months.
Okay, could you provide that to us? Thank you. Did your department receive any funds from the contingency fund? And if so, what was it for?
Andrew Green, the Department of Justice and Public Safety did not avail of any funding from the contingency fund.
Okay, thank you. That concludes the general questions that I have. So with respect to subhead 1.101, Minister's Office, under transportation and communication, last year there was $58,100 budgeted. But only $15,000 was needed. Can you discuss how you found these savings?
Sure. Mr. Green can comment a little bit further on this, but I guess there's the change in transportation, certainly part of it is due to the fact that the current minister is a city MHA as opposed to a rural one. The last two, as far as I know, I don't know how far back it goes, have been rural MHAs from outside the city, so the travel costs are obviously reduced by me being here locally.
Thank you. Subhead 1.201, executive support, under salaries. In 21-22, salaries were budgeted to be $1.2 million, but revised to $1.5, almost $1.6 million. Can you please explain this increase?
I'm always going to ask Mr. Green to correct me if I'm wrong, but I think what that is that we did have some turnover in the executive in relation to a deputy minister who left was appointed to the provincial bench, an assistant deputy minister who left who was appointed to the Supreme Court, an assistant deputy minister who left retired, so there were some payouts with regards to when they left left the Department of Justice and Public Safety.
Okay, thank you. Under transportation and communication last year, there was $41,000 budgeted. Only $14,500 was needed. How were these savings found?
Andrew Green. So the budget here, it was impacted by COVID restrictions to travel. So the allocation would assume some executive travel to FPTs across the country, and that didn't occur last year.
Okay, thank you. Subhead 1.202, administrative and policy support. Under salaries, in 21-22, salaries were budgeted to be almost $2.1 million, but revised to $1.2 million. Could you explain the variance, and were the positions left vacant? And also, well, we'll answer that, please, first.
Salaries? Yeah, you go ahead with salaries.
Andrew Green. So the salary allocation here includes block funding for the expansion of Family Violence Intervention Court, which didn't happen last year. So there's a $400,000 block of funds for that. There's also the Guns and Gangs Federal Agreement. It's block funded in this allocation. And we do that to be able to respond to needs rather than put it out in the department. And so we did achieve our Guns and Gangs funding, but it was achieved throughout the department. So we would have moved that funding somewhere else in the department. But there's no vacancies currently within this staffing group.
Okay. So the budget is being increased to $2,319,700. So explain that increase, please.
Andrew Green. So the increase again is related to the annualized impact of salary increases, which was minor in this division, plus there's expansion of the drug treatment court, or some extra federal funding for drug treatment court, and then we have the Divorce Act agreement, which is a federal agreement, mostly occurs in Supreme Court, but we do have a policy analyst position here.
Yeah, just I guess to reiterate what Mr. Green is saying is that obviously the budget has increased there, but a lot of that, or a good portion of that, is federal funds that are coming into the province to support programs that we've worked with them on, those initiatives.
Thank you. Employee benefits. I note that last year there was a 440 to 500 budgeted, but 855,000 spent. Can you explain the overage?
So that's due to greater amount paid out for departmental workplace health and safety costs in relation to PTSD issues involving individuals that might work at the RNC or corrections facilities.
Okay, thank you. Under purchased services, last year there was a small savings in the purchased service budget, but this year more money is being asked for. $513,500 is being estimated. Can you please outline the variance and what this money is for?
You go ahead, Andrew.
So we, Andrew Green. So there was some funding allocated from within during the ZBB process. We just analyzed spending. And there was some part of the federal agreements that I referenced up above in the salary element have purchase services costing as well. So it would have been increased for the federal agreement, which is offset by the revenue.
Okay. Thank you. Under grants, who receives these grants and how are the recipients determined?
So the increase in the grant is for, which was announced in the budget yesterday, was for Newfoundland Labrador Search and Rescue Association. So that's why it's gone up from 450 to 1.35. The 450,000 was for
Andrew Green. So there's the allocation for grants outside of the $900,000 increase. There's community constables. You know, this is an annual grant that we provide to community constable groups for $220,000. We also, community constables, $220,000. There is NLSAR get their annual operating grant of $91,000 out of this grant allocation. NLSAR also get an annual equipment replacement grant for $100,000. And then internally we support the National Judicial Institute for $20,000, Uniform Law Conference of Canada for $12,000, and then we provide the PUB for their motor carrier costs, which they cannot get from the way they get their funding. The annual motor carrier and audit for them is costs us between $3,500 and $5,000.
Okay, because there's, it does not work. One moment, please. My earpiece isn't working here, and I'm having a little bit of difficulty hearing. Thank you. It's not working. Thank you so much. Yep, perfect. So the $900,000 increase over last year, just explain on that, elaborate on that, please.
So that's an increase that was announced. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you now.
That was announced yesterday in the budget. It's a $900,000 increase for Newfoundland Labrador Search and Rescue Association, which was in response to the recommendations from the Ground Search and Rescue Inquiry.
Okay, thank you. Under Revenue Federal, where is this revenue coming from and how are the amounts determined? We see that last year more revenue was received than anticipated, $700,000 more.
Andrew Green. So with respect to last year, more revenue was received. So that would have been old year revenue that didn't come in time for the previous year. So it was just attributed here. The federal revenue here is for our federal agreements, which are drug treatment court, guns and gang, and some divorce act.
Okay, thank you. Under subhead 1.203, legal information management, one question on that. Under supplies, last year's supplies went over budget by $38,000. Can you please explain why?
Yeah, there's an increase in legal publications and subscriptions, increase in cost for those.
Okay. Under subhead 1.204, administrative support capital, property furnishings and equipment. I note that the budget is being decreased to $312,500, a cut of over $500,000. Will this impact the RNC's ability to purchase vehicles and equipment?
So my understanding is the end of our RNC vehicle replacement plan. So this is coming to an end this year. So it's the plan has been in place and now coming to an end, so the funding has stopped. Not that the funding has stopped. The plan for the funding is ended at last year's budget.
Okay, thank you. Under fines administration 1.301, subhead salaries, last year there was salary savings of $76,200. Was a position or positions left vacant?
Andrew Green, pardon, what was the question?
There was salary savings of $76,200. Was a position or positions left vacant?
Andrew Green, so there was multiple vacancies in that division, so it would have been, there's administrative positions that do ticket processing, and there's also collector positions, so there was turnover in that division.
Okay, thank you. Under revenue provincial, only $310,100 of the budgeted $920,600 was received. Why is this?
So this would have been due to less third-party ticket processing fees collected. Less tickets are being issued during COVID-19 pandemic. So that's why the number will hopefully, not hopefully, but it does go up again as a budget for next year.
So less tickets during COVID?
Okay. Fewer tickets, fewer dollars. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What's the total amount of fines outstanding currently?
Total amount outstanding?
Yeah.
What's that?
$47 million.
So I think that's it for this subhead before.
All right, thank you. We will move on to MHA Lena Evans.
Thank you, MHA Lena Evans.
Is your light on yet?
Yes, it is. Can you hear me?
You're okay. Good.
Yes, MHA Lena Evans. What I'll do is I'll try to cut down on duplication and repetition. Just going through the general questions. How many people are currently employed in the department, and how many vacancies are there currently?
Go ahead again.
Andrew Green. So in the department, we have 1,655 positions, excluding RCMP and legal aid, which wouldn't be inclusive for core department. And there are, as of March 28th, there were 121 vacancies.
Okay. Thank you, and I hope I don't repeat some of the questions. Earlier on, I was having trouble hearing, and I just put my earpiece in a bit late. When will we be seeing action to implement any of the recommendations from the ATIP statutory review?
So that is that report that was provided to the Department of Justice and Public Safety by David Orsborne is under review right now. Obviously, it takes some time. It's a very comprehensive report. So certainly when we're done having a thorough look at the recommendations and doing an analysis within the department, we'll bring forward any proposed legislative amendments to the House when it's ready.
Thank you. Can we have an update on the implementation of the missing and murdered Indigenous Women and Girls National Action Plan that was released June 3rd, 2021.
Kelly Martin. So work is ongoing right now with the Office of Women and Gender Equality and the Office of Indigenous Affairs and Reconciliation to address the calls for justice of the MMIWG National Inquiry. And this group participates in the FPT working group as well. So our intention is to continue to collaborate with this group and the Indigenous organizations and with the federal government as we move forward with these initiatives.
Okay. Is it possible to get an update of that collaboration? Like, are you actually implementing anything? Have you identified any of these calls to actions that actually falls under the provincial government? And just in terms of, like, because we're actually kind of in the dark when it comes to what's going on. We haven't heard anything, you know, in over a year.
Is that what we called?
Kelly Martin, so we're in, as, sorry.
Yeah, so, I mean, we can certainly, I don't know if we can provide you a list of tick boxes of what you're looking for or what has been done since the recommendations have come out. I'm sure as you're aware, a lot of the recommendations that come out are within the federal jurisdiction and not anything within the control of our department. But as Ms. Martin said, you know, we're working with them. There's FTP groups that are working towards fulfilling as many, if not all, as recommendations as we can. But it's not as simple as just at the provincial level.
Right, and I do understand it's complicated and it's layered as such. Can we have an update on the review of the Ground Search and Rescue Inquiry Report and what will the $1 million in additional funding for Search and Rescue Association go towards? That's in this budget.
Yeah, so that money was a grant to NLSARA, and we're going to work with them and determine exactly where that funding is going to go in relation to the direct recommendations and which ones we're going to fulfill through that $1 million. There's also $775,000 out of last year's budget that has been given to NLSARA as well. So it's a sizable increase in what they've received over the years, and we look forward to working with them to implement the recommendations as we move forward. And a big part of that will be work that will be done in Labrador.
Yes, and one of the things that we did hear from the inquiry was local volunteer agencies actually having to fundraise so they could get the equipment to be able to be able to do the searches and also to maintain their own personal safety. So that $1 million is, will be a good benefit to a lot of those needs that came out of search and rescue.
So, Joe, that funding, some of it will be for equipment, absolutely.
Yeah. Can we have an update on the Community Justice Connect initiative? Has the program seen much uptake?
Heather Jacobs, that program that's housed in Human Rights has been very successful. And as you know, it's a unique program using restorative justice. And Human Rights is going to continue with that program this year.
Okay. Have you seen a lot of uptake?
I'm sorry, I don't know the answer to that question.
Okay.
But I know it was, when I was talking to the executive director, she said it's very successful, but I don't know the numbers.
Okay. Well, that's a good indication.
Yeah.
Does the department have any other plans to advance restorative justice programs, like?
So we do have plans. We were actually approached by a group from Memorial University probably within the last couple of months. They approached the Department of Justice and Public Safety, Minister Dempster's department, and Minister Osborne's department as well, looking for some funding in relation to restorative justice program. 3-year plan, $200,000 a year. What we decided to do was give them the full $600,000 right up front. That was done very recently. I believe I made the telephone call 1 week ago today to provide that $600,000 for a restorative justice program, and we will work with them. Part of the deal was that we will work with them because the Department of Justice has a role to play in restorative justice. So it's a pretty exciting announcement. I really look forward to working with that group as we move forward over the next 3 years with that block funding.
Thank you. Following last year's cyber attack, will this department be working with OCIO and other departments on initiatives to better secure the province's IT systems?
We work with all departments in relation to anything that affects Department of Justice and Public Safety.
Can you provide an update on the progress of implementing the recommendations for improving the Office of the Chief Medical Officer, from the 2017 review by Dr. Matthew Bowles?
Jerry Smith. So Dr. Bowles, when he completed his review, made a total of 65 recommendations, 47 which have been fully completed, 18 have been actioned or will be actioned in the short term. The themes of the recommendations were legislation, facilities, staffing, records management, policies and procedures. So as I said, of the 65, 47 to date have been fully actioned and completed, and 18 are ongoing.
Thank you. I don't know if this question was asked earlier, but how many cases of CERT, how many cases is CERT currently investigating?
Jerry Smith. So the statistics that the Office of the Chief Medical Examiner gave us is that they've investigated a total of 530 cases in the last fiscal year.
Sorry, the question was how many is CERT?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, we'll get that. Sorry, I know it's hard to hear.
I was, I was...
I don't want you thinking that that was the answer for sure. That's
I was, I was a bit confused there, sorry.
Yeah.
Denise Woodrow, CERT has 12 files this year.
And 530.
Yeah.
Plus, I mean, with her answering, so
my king freaked
expanding her role. Can we have an update on the progress of the implementation of the GESO report recommendations?
To date, most of the GESO recommendations have been implemented. So this year, the major one was we finalized the transition of the healthcare services from the Department of Justice and Public Safety into Eastern Health with the assistance of the Department of Health and Community Services.
Thank you. My last general question is, what specific measures are being taken to expand the family violence intervention? Taken to expand the Family Violence Intervention Court? I know there's money.
Kelly Martin. We've actually hired a dedicated policy resource to work towards this, and we hope to have our first appearance in 2022.
Okay. I'm just running out of time, actually, so I'll... And Helen actually asked quite a few questions, so I'll just stop here.
All right. The member's time is up.
Thank you.
Do you have any additional questions?
No, no additional questions for
this sub
group? No, nothing else.
Okay. So I'll ask the clerk to recall the grouping.
Does Ms. Evans have any more?
M.H.A. Evans, do you have additional questions?
Yes, actually.
Okay.
Just looking at 1.1.01, what actual spending on transportation and communications was down significantly last year? The budget, the spending was down, the budget actually increased. Now, with COVID somewhat behind us, will there be more travel done by the department and less reliance on digital communication? I know that we've moved a lot of meetings and a lot of things relating to justice to online.
So one of the reasons that the spending was down was because me being the minister is a city MHA as opposed to a rural MHA who the last minister was. That's one of the reasons the spending was down. The budget is going higher than that number next year because I do anticipate there will be more travel as COVID restrictions have lifted. But as you can see, it won't be as high as was budgeted in the previous year.
Just looking at what are the sources of federal and provincial revenue this year, and why are there variances in the actuals from last year and the budget amounts for this year in federal reserve revenues?
Can you specify what line, what number you're looking at?
Oops.
Yep.
Yeah, sorry about that. I skipped ahead. 1.2.02.
Andrew Green. So if you're asking specifically about the revenue, last year's budget would have been the allocation for Guns and Gangs and Divorce Act. What we actually received was money from previous year's agreements that wasn't received in the previous year, so that's why it was up. And then this year it's the expansion of Guns and Gangs, the expansion of the Drug Treatment Court. Both of those agreements have additional funding, and then there's some Divorce Act money in there as well.
Okay. And 1.3.01, fines and administration. How much revenue was collected on fines last year?
The fines?
Fines.
Ms. Catherine, does she have that?
Heather Jacobs. This year we collected revenue of $7.1 million.
That's I'll end my questions for this section.
Good.
Yeah.
Okay, MHA.
One further question that I forgot to ask about the fine option program. Last year during estimates, an official said that development is still ongoing with the fine options program, but it was delayed because of COVID. Can you just give us an update on the fine option, please?
Heather Jacobs. Yes, it's status quo there, just because with the COVID restrictions not lifted, we weren't able to work with community groups. So hopefully we can move forward with that program this year.
Okay, thank you. That's it.
Good. All right. MHA Evans, are you finished? You good?
Good.
All right. I asked the clerk to recall the subgroup.
Executive and Support Services, 1.1.01 through 1.3.01 inclusive.
Shall 1.1.01 to 1.3.01 carry? All those in favor?
Aye.
Carries. Ask the clerk to call the next group.
Legal and Related Services, 2.1.01 through 2.4.01 inclusive.
Shall 2.1.01 to 2.4.01 carry? Go ahead.
Thank you. Under salaries, last year there was salary savings of $157,700. Was a position or positions left vacant?
Sorry, there was turnover within the division, but there wasn't any intentional vacancies.
Okay. Thank you. Under professional services, can you please review how the budget is being decreased by $2 million to, believe it's $3,084,200?
So those are professional services. A large chunk of that, if not all of it, is for external legal counsel. So last year was a busy year with regards to having to retain legal counsel. Just some of the matters, large class action lawsuits, large employment matter in relation to a correctional issue, and some litigation related to indigenous matters around rape mitigation. So we don't anticipate being as busy or as litigious this year.
Okay, that's good to hear. Thank you. Under purchased services, last year purchased services went over budget by $22,300. Why was this and what was purchased?
Andrew Green. So with respect to the increased cost, this is in relation to professional services was up in terms of litigation. So this would have been extra transcription or translation costs, but nothing was generally purchased in addition.
Okay, thank you. Under allowances and assistance, last year $5 million was budgeted, $17.85 million was spent. This year, $5 million is budgeted again. Could you please provide an explanation of these amounts and who receives this funding?
So this increase was for a class action lawsuit. The money has been paid into court for this class action lawsuit, and we await final approval from the courts to sign off on what has been proposed by both sides. So that money wasn't allocated in the budget, as you can see, in 2021-22, but it certainly the litigation moved, I would say, fairly fast, fairly recently, which is why the money was allocated towards this this heading.
Okay. So what was the class action lawsuit involved? What was that?
So who can give some details? Yeah, go ahead.
Dennis Mahoney. The class action involved the Whitburn class action lawsuit that was mentioned publicly recently. And so the parties had reached a settlement in principle. It requires approval of the court. The parties are working with a justice in the Supreme Court to schedule the matter for an approval hearing in the very near future. And as the minister said, the money has been paid into court.
Thank you. Under subhead 2.102, Sheriff's Office, with respect to salaries, in 21-22, there were salary savings of $572,400. Again, was a position or positions left vacant?
Andrew Green, yes, there was Sheriff's Office positions and administrative positions vacant last year.
how many positions were left vacant?
As of March 28th, there were 12 vacancies in the division.
Okay, thank you. Under transportation and communication, last year there was $285,500 budgeted, but only $170,000 needed. Can you discuss how you found these savings?
Kerry Sayers. Yes, these savings were based around travel with regards to circuit court, with the regulations and health measures, with courts being either canceled or postponed. Much of the travel was not required.
Okay, thank you. Under purchased services, $243,000 was budgeted, but only $96,500 was needed. Could you please explain why?
Kerry Sayers. Yes, this decrease was largely in part due to jury trials being either canceled or postponed or not going ahead.
Okay, thank you. Under property, furnishings, and equipment, it appears there was an unexpected $30,000 expenditure. Can you explain what was purchased?
Kerry Sayers. Yes, this was with the new building of the Happy Valley Goose Bay Courthouse. There was a requirement for CCTV for security purposes.
Okay, thank you. Under revenue federal, $109,900 was budgeted last year, but only $25,000 received. $109,900 is budgeted again for this fiscal. Could you please explain why?
So that federal agreement is the Contraventions Act agreement, which is in funds administration, the sheriff's office, and provincial court. And so that funding is for a position and then some operating expenditures to support that position. So what we received would have been the time that we would have had a bilingual position filled, but that position was vacant at the time. So we only received a small amount. We anticipate that we would try to staff that position again.
Okay, thank you. Under support enforcement subhead 2.103, under salaries are being increased to $1,006,100. Can you explain the budgeted salary increase?
For the salaries, the support enforcement officers recently had a reclassification award, so we had to adjust our salary plan to support the increased salaries that they were awarded through reclassification.
Okay, thank you. And under purchase services, last year purchase services went over budget, $98,000 was spent. Can you please explain why?
No, Heather.
Heather Jacobs. Yes, this is due to banking fees because in that program money comes in and comes out. And you'll notice that we've tried to fix the budget in this year so that it reflects more accurately that cost.
So could you just clarify banking fees is you know, what accounts for that over budget?
The payor submits the money to the program, and then the program gives the money to the payee. So we pay a cost for each one of those transactions in the bank account.
I see. Okay, thank you. Under subhead 2.104, access to information and protection of privacy, under salaries, last year salaries went over budget by $35,000. Can you please explain why?
Andrew Green. So the delay of the ATIPA review meant that we carried some salaries into the new year. And so that was just, and we didn't have the funding for it because it was too late in the budget cycle to kind of add some funding for that. So we just kind of incurred increased salaries to support the conclusion of the ATIPA review.
Okay, thank you. Under purchase services, could you please give an explanation of the variance in this line item? Last year, $42,800 was budgeted, $28,800 spent, and now $34,900 is budgeted.
Andrew Green. The intent for the purchase services here is for the staff to go out and do some training with the municipalities, and this would include rental of facilities or AV equipment in order to support that training. And because of COVID, we weren't able to do the training in person, and I think we were able to do some virtual training.
Okay, thank you. Now, I know that this question was asked, but I'm going to ask a related question to the Access to Information Statutory Review. It has been completed for some time now. So can you please give us some estimate as to when you think the changes will be brought back to the House for discussion?
No, I can't put a timeline on that. We're doing a review. We want to do it properly. And you say that, you know, the changes that will be brought to the House. I guess that's the point, is that I don't know if any changes will be made or not. Mm-hmm. That's part of the analysis that we're doing to see which ones, if necessary, from the report from Mr. Orsborn, will be legislatively changed.
Okay, thank you. Under 2.201 criminal law, salaries. Last year, salaries went over budget by $250,000. Why was this?
Lloyd can do it.
Go ahead. I think Mr. Green may be able to answer this better than I am. Lloyd Strickland. I think Mr. Green may be the handle, because it relates to having three extra Crown attorneys on contract.
Andrew Green. So there's in our salary plan, we carry a couple extra solicitors to be able to meet all of our Jordan requirements in the criminal law division.
Okay, thank you. With respect to Jordan, do we have any cases before the court now with respect to Jordan?
Sorry, what was the question?
With respect to the Jordan case, do we have any delays as a result of Jordan?
Lloyd Strickland, I didn't hear the question. I'm sorry.
With respect to the Jordan case, do we have any cases that are before the court in relation to a delay?
There is only one outstanding Jordan application filed in a criminal case in the province right now, and that is being litigated.
Okay, thank you.
And sorry, Lloyd Strickland, sorry.
Thank you.
Yes, my light wasn't on. Okay. Yeah. Okay. 2.1.01, civil law. Actual spending on salaries was lower than expected last year. Why was this?
Go ahead and speak up a little bit.
Andrew Green. So that was just general turnover within the division and delays in recruitment?
Delays in recruitment, so was it because of vacancies that couldn't be filled?
All the positions are currently filled. It's just the timing of filling them.
Okay. Spending on the employee benefits was a bit higher than expected last year. What was the reason for this?
Andrew Green. So that would be the employee benefits here would be lost society fees for all the solicitors. And then we had some articling students that we had to pay their bar course fees. So that was the increased expenditure.
2.1.02, Sheriff's Office. The department has linked the Sheriff's Office's inability to provide financial statements to the Auditor General, in part due to outdated accounting processes. Is there any talk about updating these, and if so, how will it be changed?
Kerry Sayers, Sheriff's Office. This is a priority for the Office of the High Sheriff. We recently hired a new manager for the accounting section, with further interviews going this week. Financials have been provided and have been returned for revision. With regards to the outdated processes, it's something that can certainly be looked into.
Thank you. 2.1.03, support enforcement. There's a projected increase in salaries this year. Are there any new positions being created? And if so, what's their function?
Andrew Green, there's no new positions. This was a reclassification for the existing staff. So it was to increase their salaries to match what the reclassification award was. Okay.
Thank you. 2.1.04, access to information and protection of privacy. spending on employee benefits was lower than anticipated last year, and this item is down compared to, in the budget for this item is down compared to last year. What accounts for these variances?
Andrew Green. So the employee benefits here is for membership fee for all ATIP coordinators in government in the International Association of Privacy Professionals. And there, I think there was some vacancies within some ATIP positions.
Okay, thank you. 2.2.01, criminal law. There's an increase in the supplies budget this year. What accounts for this increase?
Yeah, can you say that again, please?
2.2.01, criminal law. There's an increase in the supplies budget this year. Just wondering what accounts for the increase.
Andrew Green, so that would have been a zero-based budget spending analysis. So we increased the supply budget to match what we anticipate expenditures will be this year. And I think they're going to buy some redaction software for the Crown attorneys to do disclosure.
Okay. Thank you. Spending on professional services came in over budget last year, and this year's budget shows an increase of about $10,000 over last year's budget. Why is this the case? Why the increase?
Lloyd Strickland. The increase from last year, for us, professional services relates to retaining external counsel when there are conflicts of interest, for instance. a situation that did arise where a Crown attorney is complainant in uttering a threats charge, we hire external counsel. So it's a matter of happenstance that we had increased expenditure, and we expect it to go back to historical norms.
Thank you. 2.3.01, legal aid. Has there been any discussions about cutting grants to legal aid in the years to come?
No.
I'm glad to see that. 2.3.03, other inquiries. Could we have an update on the work of the Commission of Inquiry into the Treatment Experiences Now Comes of Innu, Innu in the Child Care Protection System?
We were, because the same commissioner, Iglo-Liorte, was doing the Grant Search and Rescue Inquiry, and is also participating as one of the three commissioners, as you know, for this inquiry into custody of new children. And we have been working with them very closely a lot over the past couple of months to get to finalize, I should say. There's been a lot of work gone into the terms of reference and the rules of procedure in relation to this upcoming inquiry. And we've worked very closely with the new council. The deputy minister has taken that on, taken on a heavy load of that since he's been here. He hasn't been here for very long. And we're very, 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 very close. We couldn't be closer to just announcing the terms of reference. And there is legal counsel have been hired by the commissioners, and they're working together already. So it's I anticipate an announcement on the actual timeline of that to be very, very soon.
Okay. Thank you. I've struggled to... I left my reading glasses, so I'm just trying not to lose focus here. I think you partially answered my next question. There's a significant decrease in the annual salary expenses over last year. I'm still in other inquiries, actually. But this year, there's a budget of $866,000 under this heading. Will there be any carryover in the staff between the ground search and rescue and the inquiry into the treatment experience and outcomes of Innu children and the protection system?
Dennis Mahoney. The staffing structure for the ground search and rescue inquiry will be different than the Innu inquiry. We have already started preparations for the staffing of the Innu inquiry, but there has been a gap between the staffing of the ground search and rescue because their work is now completed and we're just getting ready to staff up the Innu inquiry. And so, but there will be differences in the staffing structure, and we generally expect that there'll be more staffing required for the Innu inquiry than we had for the ground search inquiry.
Okay, thank you. And just as an aside, the way that the ground search and rescue inquiry was carried out was very respectful of the indigenous people who were greatly impacted by the Burton the Burton Winters tragedy. So if we could see more of that, more respect in communication and supports, it would be greatly appreciated. And I think it was one of the reasons why the Ground Search and Rescue Inquiry was so successful from a Labrador perspective. So thank you for that. And I think it had a lot to do with the staff and support that was actually there.
So I will just comment. Thanks for that comment. And that issue has been addressed in the terms of reference. And obviously, Commissioner Igliliorte was credit to him for doing that properly and respectfully. And I'm sure he will continue to do that on the new inquiry as well.
And his support as well with Budden was quite an asset as well. Continuing on in other inquiries, the variances in the actual and budgeted figures under operating accounts, does this have anything to do with the inquiries finishing up and others, which would be the Innu inquiry, just getting started, or does it have to do with lower expenses as a result of COVID?
No, I think your first option was the right one. It has just to do with the transition from one finishing up and moving into the next one.
Section 2.3.04, Office of the Chief Medical Examiner. Both the actual expenditures and those budgeted for this year under salaries are lower than the budget from last year. Why is this?
Andrew Green. So the salary, we would have had salary savings for the additional medical examiner position, which was vacant last year.
Thank you. Just looking at, why is there a slight increase in the budget for professional services this year under that section?
Andrew Green. So we would, this would be a zero-based budget spending analysis, so we would have saw an uptick in trend in professional services spending, which is why we would have increased the budget.
And why are we expecting no federal revenue this year? In this year's budget, we're not expecting any federal revenue under that section, under the Chief Medical...
The federal revenue agreements that were with the Office of the Chief Medical Examiner have expired. I know the staff are working on additional help from the federal government, but there wasn't any finalized by the time the budget was ready.
MHA Conway Oppenheimer, please. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. Thank you. Under 2.201 criminal law, under transportation and communication, last year there was $427,500 budgeted for TSC, but only $295,000 needed. Can you discuss how you found these savings?
Glenn? Basically, there were fewer court circuits because of public health measures that eliminated the ability to conduct in-person hearings. As well, annually, we send Crown attorneys for further education at what is called the Ontario Crown School. And again, because of public health measures, we did not send anyone last year. So those were the savings.
Okay, thank you. Under 2.301, legal aid, how many lawyers are now practicing at legal aid?
Andrew Green, so there would be approximately 51 lawyers.
Thank you. And member for Torngat Mountains did touch on this question, but I'm going to ask as well. With respect to the Green Report, they had recommended that the operating grant to Legal Aid be reduced by 2%. Has your department done any analysis, or has Legal Aid completed any analysis on what impact that this would have on services?
So we, like, as the answer to her was that we don't have any plan
don't
to cut any,
nothing,
any
no
money
plans
right
to
now.
Cut. Okay, good. Just wanted to confirm.
I should say right now, we don't have any plan. There's no plan to cut money to Legal Aid.
Okay, good. That's good to hear. Thank you. Okay. Under 2.303, other inquiries, I know this has been as well touched upon, but I would like to ask a general question about this. If you could please speak generally about the expenses listed here for other inquiries. So I'm aware that the amount spent in any year largely depends on the timing and the needs of an inquiry. But how were the amounts for this upcoming year actually calculated? And specifically, I'm wondering about the variance, for example, in salaries, transportation and communication, professional services, and purchase services.
So the variances, that's like the last budget would have been the end of the ground search and rescue inquiry, and now the budget for this year is for the INU inquiry. So the expenses, and this is an estimate based on, I guess, a historical look on what inquiries cost and try to figure out how long this one's going to go for, compared to ones that we've seen in the past and the costs in the past. The costs, this $4 million for this budget will go to standard things for an inquiry, legal fees, travel certainly in Labrador for this one and things like that. Nothing out of the ordinary, just a comparison to previous inquiries.
Okay, thank you. Under 2.304, Office of the Chief Medical Examiner. Now, I know that a member from Torngat Mountains had asked about the Bose inquiry. I just want to clarify, last year when I asked, we were told that 50 out of the 65 recommendations of the Bose inquiry were implemented. Can I get an update on the other 15 outstanding recommendations?
Jerry Smith. So there are still a number that have been actioned and are ongoing, and some that will be actioned. I don't have the specific count of which specific recommendations have been completed. However, there were some, as I indicated earlier, there were broad headings in terms of the recommendations, and some would require more time in terms of records management and some of the recommendations around changes in facilities. So those are still ongoing.
Okay, thank you. Under supplies, last year supplies went over budget by $9,700. Can you please explain why?
Andrew Green. So that was increased supplies for PPE equipment for COVID.
Thank you. Under purchase services, last year purchase services went over budget, spending $500,000. Can you please explain why?
So in the purchase services here, we would have lab expenditures. So there was an increase in lab expenditures. And we have transportation and human remains expenditures, we can't tell what we're going to expend there. It's not something we can anticipate. It just happens. So they would have been the two cost drivers in purchase services.
Thank you, Andrew. Also now under subhead 2.305, human rights, salaries, the salary budget is being decreased to $703,600. Why is that?
Andrew Green, so that is the, there was a federally funded position last year that the federal agreement is finalized, so the salary allocation, the salary expense would not be offset by the revenue.
Okay. What was that position exactly? Yeah.
It was a policy analyst, I believe, that was helping with Justice Community Connect and anti-racism.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, that's right.
Under purchase services, the budget for purchase services is being reduced to $6,000. Can you please explain why?
That would have been the operating expenditures as part of the federal agreement.
Okay. Anti-racism.
Okay. All right. Thank you. And let's see if there's anything. The under revenue federal, could you please explain where exactly this federal revenue comes from?
It's the same issues, the federal, yes, the anti-racism position.
Okay, thank you. Under 2.306, Office of the Public Trustee, under salaries, this year the salary budget is being increased to $758,000. Are there extra positions being added?
Andrew Green, no, there's no new positions. This is the full year impact of annualized salary increases, plus, as you know, which I've explained in previous years, how we applied attrition, you know, we allocated proportionally across the department. So this is kind of funding back some of the attrition block that we took in previous years.
Okay, thank you. Under revenue provincial, could you explain how an extra $200,000 was collected last year?
Andrew Green. So this is, we get expenditures for undistributable estates that come into the Consolidated Revenue Fund. And we also have fees to manage estates that come in. So it was just an increase in undistributable estates.
Okay, thank you. And under subhead 2.401, Legislative Council, under salaries, there's a slight salary increase. Is this just like the annual step, annual increases, or what is it exactly?
So it would be similar, Andrew Green, so it would be similar to the public trustee response. So it's the annualized impact of salary increases plus kind of bringing back some of that attrition money we took over the years.
Okay.
The little blocks.
Okay, thank you. And that completes my questions for that that heading.
And H.J. Evans?
No, mine are complete too.
Finished?
Yep, she said she's done.
She's done? Okay, I asked the clerk to recall.
Okay. Legal and related services, 2.1.01 to 2.4.01 inclusive.
Shall 2.1.01 to 2.4.01 carry? All those in favor?
Aye.
Okay. Carries. Ask the clerk to call the next group.
The law courts. 3.1.01 to 3.2.01 inclusive.
3.1.01 to 3.2.01 inclusive. MHA, Conway, Ottenheimer.
Thank you. Under this heading, I just have some general questions. I know that the minister did speak in general about family violence intervention courts, but last year in estimates, officials talked about hiring a new policy analyst. What work has this analyst completed, and what's the timeline for a central family violence intervention court?
Kelly Martin, excuse me. So the policy analyst has been hired, and they are working on an implementation plan for the court to expand to central Newfoundland, and we expect to see that in place in 2022.
Okay, thank you. And with respect to the drug treatment courts, I think that you did speak about this, but I'm going to ask again. Apologize for ready repetition, but could you please provide an update on the drug treatment court?
Kelly Martin. So the drug treatment court, we are working with our federal counterparts to expand this court outside of St. John's, and we are hoping that that will be completed this year as well.
Okay, that's good news. Thank you. And the mental health court, can you give an update on the number of people who are participating in the program, in the court, and is there a desire to expand this court to other geographical areas?
Kelly Martin. So in 21-22, we had 22 individuals who completed the programming of the mental health court and 10 who were pending or participating in the court, and we have not looked at any expansion with that court as of right now.
Okay, thank you. Online versus in-person services. Just curious about if you could give an overview of which court services are now online versus in-person.
The Supreme Court, mostly due to the COVID-19 pandemic, did reach out to its counterparts across the country, and we do have some working groups that are ongoing since, I guess, the middle of the pandemic to try to enhance the online services. So we do, for Supreme Court specifically here, we do have the e-filing for the probate, and we have been working on updating our website. We will be rolling out a new website over the next several months to make it a little easier for self-represented litigants specifically, make the information a little more accessible. And I think that's all on that.
Okay, thank you. Under subhead 3.101, Supreme Court, under salaries, last year there was a salary savings of $405,000. This year it's being increased to $6,766,000. Could you please outline why?
Well, one of the reasons is there'll be two new positions in relation to for the Unified Family Court. So as you know, we have a bill before the House right now to amend the Judicature Act to allow the federal government to provide three new UFC judges. And the plan is to roll this out one at a time. And the first one we've been working with the Supreme Court on, it will need two additional staff, that resources to assist with the judge. So that's why there's an increase there of at least for two new positions at the Supreme Court.
Thank you. Purchase services. Last year, purchase services went over budget by $26,000. Why was this?
Andrew Green. So purchase services went over last year due to jury trial expenditures for audiovisual at the School for the Deaf. So we had to rent some audiovisual equipment.
Okay. Thank you. Under revenue federal, could you please explain how $106,100,000 was collected last year, and explain where the $772,400 will come from? So I'm just curious about the variance there.
Andrew Green. So the revenue in Supreme Court is two federal agreements. So there's a Family Justice Services Agreement, which make up about half of the revenue. The other additional half is the Divorce Act funding. So the $606,000 would have been the Family Justice Services and then some Divorce Act funding. And then the increase would have been the, you know, the annualization of the increase in the in that Divorce Act agreement.
Okay. Okay, thank you. Under under 3.201, Provincial Court, salaries last year, salary savings of $353,800. Why was this?
Andrew Green. So there was some vacancies within the Provincial Court.
Okay, thank you. How many vacancies were there?
Andrew Green, as of March 28th, there were seven vacant positions.
Thank you. Under purchase services is my last question for this this heading. Can you please provide some detail on the purchase services budget? Last year, there was $405,800 budgeted and $380,000 spent. This year, $421,000 budgeted.
So Andrew Green, so the purchase services budget here, we would have done a historical spending analysis, and we probably would have added some funding based on five-year averages on what we saw there. There was some drops in spending due to the pandemic.
Thank you. That concludes my questions.
Thank you. MHA Evans.
Thank you. 3.1.01 Supreme Court. Spending on supplies and property, furnishes, and equipment was lower than expected last year. Why was this? Yep, supplies and property, furnishings, equipment.
Andrew Green, so are you asking for the reduction in supplies this year?
Yes.
Yeah, so that would have been Divorce Act funding supplies that we weren't able to fully achieve.
Okay, thank you. 3.2.01, Provincial Court. Could we have an update on how the government plans to handle the issues with judges' salaries? And will we be expecting a motion into House soon as per the recommendations of Justice Boone?
So the resolution was read in the House yesterday.
Yeah, okay.
You prepared your questions before yesterday, didn't you?
Yeah, I'm sorry. I just, And I'm having trouble focusing. On our break, I will be getting my glasses. What region will be serviced by the new traveling judge position, and what areas are in highest demand for such a service?
Heather Jacobs. All the provincial courts are working well with court dates available for September to October, but Grand Falls, Windsor is having scheduling problems, so the judge originally, I think, will be going there, but we'll have to consult with the chief judge.
Thank you. There's an increase in the budget for this year for supplies. Why is this?
Andrew Green. So this would have been a zero-based budgeting spending analysis, looking at historical spending and then trying to allocate our budget to what that historical spending would have been.
Okay. Thank you. The budget for this year's property furnishings and equipment has increased. What new expenses are anticipated?
Andrew Green. So there isn't any generally new expenditures anticipated. It's just there's 10 court locations that they have, lots of office equipment, chairs, et cetera. It's a public-facing building, so it's the general replenishment of some of that equipment, and we've tried to match it to our spending analysis.
Thank you. I'm finished with my questions for this section.
Nothing else. No, thank you.
All right, so I ask the clerk to recall the grouping.
The law courts, 3.1.01 through 3.2.01 inclusive.
Shall 3.1.01 to 3.2.01 carry? All those in favor?
Okay.
Carried. So before we move into public protection and fire and emergency services, we're going to take a 10-minute break. It is now 10:18, so we will come back at 10:28.
There we go. Public protection, 4.1.01 to 4.2.02 inclusive.
Shall 4.1.01 to 4.2.02. MHA Conway Ottenhauer.
Thank you, Chair. I'm just going to ask a general question about, first of all, the RNC replacement plan for vehicles. Minister, you said the plan to replace the vehicles has ended. Can you please provide some commentary on the current condition of the fleet? And then I've got a couple of other sub-questions about that.
Currently, the RNC.
Okay. Kim Harding. Currently, the RNC has 152 fleet.
Okay. Are there standards for the fleet in terms of how long a vehicle is used before replacement?
Kim Harding, we do an analysis on the mileage of each fleet and the operating expenses incurred for each vehicle.
Okay. Can you comment on the current condition of the fleet? And, does the fleet now meet, the standards?
Kim Harding, with the replacement plan, the RNC fleet is in good condition. We approximately have 77% of our fleet has less than 200,000 kilometers.
Okay, thank you. And like, for example, computers in the vehicles and so forth, are there assets that are going to be replaced this year?
Kim Harding, in July of 2021, we purchased 20 new mobile data terminal computers for the vehicles.
Okay, thank you. Now, recently I heard a story about, I was contacted by two officers who were left without their communication system functioning while on duty. Can you provide any commentary about this? What's being done to ensure that officers are not left without communications and in terms of the risk to officers, for example?
Kim Harding, we do have an ongoing operational file regarding our radio system, and the RNC does have a business continuity plan in place in the event that the radio system fails in the cars.
So can you provide any commentary about that situation I'm referring to? Are you aware of that? About when the communication system actually didn't function properly while they were on duty?
I can't comment on that particular incident, no.
Okay, thank you. How many officers are eligible for retirement?
Kim Hardy, currently today we have 29 police officers eligible to retire.
And with respect to recruits, how many new recruits are available
to replace them?
Kim Harding, currently we're going through the recruiting process, and we are looking at a class size of anywhere between 10 and 15.
And just in terms of the recruitment, will they be, are there any plans to have any kind of training here in the province, or will it be outside of Newfoundland and Labrador?
Kim Harding, once the recruitment class is selected, they will attend Atlantic Police Academy in PEI. When they return from the Atlantic Police Academy, they will do a 4 to 6 week course here within completing online or in service training.
Thank you. Under sub 4.101, under salaries, can the minister please give an overview of how many employees are with the RNC? I don't know if this was answered before, and I apologize if I'm repeating the question.
Go ahead.
Yes.
Currently we have, Kim Harding, currently we have 397 police officers, and we have 93 civilian positions.
Thank you.
Filled.
The salary line item had a savings of $1.57 million. Why is that?
Kim Harding, this was due to turnover in staff. We currently have 22 vacant positions with civilians and 6 vacant police positions.
Okay. Transportation and communication, can you please explain the variance in this line item? There was a savings of $248,600 found last year.
Kim Harding, this was due to our members not completing going away on training due to COVID restrictions.
Okay. And under supplies, last year $1,008,252 was budgeted, $1,455 was spent, and this year $179,004 was budgeted. Can you please provide some commentary on this variance here?
Andrew Green. So the supplies budget went down last year due to reduced uniform requirements, and it was brought down a little bit from budget to budget based on zero-based spending analysis.
Okay. Under revenue federal, last year, four of the anticipated $629,000 was collected. Can you explain this, please?
Andrew Green. So the revenue here is for the federal revenue in the budget last year was a carryover revenue that we didn't close off for the Combined Special Forces Unit. That was in the budget, and it shouldn't have been for a number of years, so we actually corrected it, which is it came down a little bit. And then the revenue we actually collected was for the drug impaired driving agreement.
Under revenue provincial, where does this revenue come from? Could you please outline how the extra was obtained last year? I think it was 5578 was received.
Kim Harding, revenue comes from criminal record screening certificate background checks and fingerprinting services.
Okay, thank you. Under 4.102, Royal Canadian Mounted Police, under transportation and communication, I know it's only $1,100, but I'm just curious where it was spent.
Charlene Simmons, that was spent for the analyst, myself, to attend a new roundtable meetings that occurred in Halifax as part of the Justice and Policing Subcommittee.
Okay, thank you. Professional services, could you please outline how the amount budgeted for the RCMP compares to the amount asked for by the RCMP?
So I think the question was the increase was in, what's the comparison to what was asked for by the RCMP?
Right.
Yeah. So I did, and we did, meet with the RCMP, the former commanding officer Deanna Hill with regards to budget issues. I shouldn't say budget issues, but they're the budget for the RCMP, obviously everyone knows, and we've got questions in the House about it, and I got letters from municipalities throughout the province on it. There hasn't been an increase in a long time. So happy to yesterday to hear the Minister of Finance say that there's an increase in the budget of about $17 million, which is obviously a very, very large increase over last year, last year's budget. But in terms of the conversations with the RCMP, you know, there was a lot of back and forth and a lot of discussions about where money was needed and where we could allocate funds. But of course, at the end of the day, the RCMP, same with the RNC, are going to make decisions, operational decisions that the Department of Justice is not going to have a say in. So. You know, it's a little bit vague to say, you know, what was asked for and in terms of the direct request from the RCMP. But we were happy to work with them, and we met with them yesterday as well, and they're very pleased with the large increase in the budget.
It's good to hear. Thank you. Revenue Federal. Can you please explain what the program the federal revenue is for and what accounts for the increase to $239.6 in the revenue for this year?
Andrew Green. So that is drug-impaired driving revenue. And it's increased due to the general increase of that agreement. It has escalating increases in it.
Okay, thank you. Under RNC Public Complaints Commission 4.103, under professional services, went over budget last year. $333.5 was spent. Why was this?
That was there was external legal fees because we had to retain a new contractual adjudicator at a higher rate of pay.
Okay, thank you. How many complaints does the RNC Public Complaints Commission receive on average each year, and how many did we actually receive last year?
Denise Woodrow, there was 49 last year and 49 this year as well.
Okay, thank you. Consistent, isn't it? under Serious Incident Response Team 4.104, I know that this was asked by a member from Torngate Mountains. I believe there's 12 files. But I'm just curious, so the salaries, last year there was a salary savings of $33,000. Was the position vacant for a period of time?
Yes, for CERT there was a vacancy, and that office is fully staffed, fully operational right now.
Okay. Thank you. Okay, thank you.
Yes, thank you. 4.1.01, Royal Newfoundland Constabulary. Are there any plans to implement cultural sensitivity training for staff at the RNC?
I can't answer that question.
You don't have the information, or you can't answer it?
Kim.
To the financials here, which is what Ms. Harding's here to speak about. It would be a policy and a question, I guess, better directed to the Chief of Police, who's unfortunately not here today. Certainly something we can chat about outside of the estimates questions.
Thank you. Spending on professional and purchase services, two lines, was over budget last year. The budget for both these items are also increased again in this year's budget. What was the reason for this increase?
Kim Harding, the reason for the increase was the external legal requirements for operational files.
Okay, thank you. 4.1.02, the Royal Canadian Mounted Police. What will the increase, we've already discussed the increase in professional services, but what will these increases get us in terms of services? And also, what were the number of new hires coming out of this increase?
Charlene Simmons. We have established, the minister has established provincial policing priorities with the RCMP, and so we've outlined that rural policing should be a priority, as well as collaboration with Indigenous communities and traffic services. We're currently working with the RCMP in terms of their exact needs with regard to a staffing complement.
Okay.
Okay. So do you know how many new hires will come and what types of positions they will be?
Sorry, can you repeat the question?
Out of the increase, how many new hires will there be and what types of positions would the new hires be in?
We're currently still working through that process with the RCMP to determine their exact needs.
Okay, thank you.
Just to add, there is the arrangement with the federal government, there's a maximum amount of RCMP officers that can be hired. So that we do have to work within the framework that we have with the agreement we have with the federal government.
Thank you. 4.1.04, Serious Incident Response Team. The actual spending on supplies was up last year, but it's lower than expected in the professional services, property, furnishes, and equipment. What accounts for these variances?
Andrew Green. So the variances reflected in this office would have been, all of them would have been an office that wasn't fully operational, but now we're expecting the budget to match full operations.
Okay, thank you. This year's budget for purchase services is up, but the one for property, furnishes, and equipment is lower. Why are these budget numbers being adjusted? I think you may have answered my question.
So, Andrew Green, so the property, furnishes, and equipment, there would have been some upfront expenditures that you would see. Some of that $17,000 would have occurred. And so then we just kind of thought that those were one time, so we brought the budget down a little bit.
Okay, thank you. 4.2.01, adult corrections. How much money does the provincial government receive from the federal government for housing of federal prisoners in our facilities?
Denise Woodrow, it was $315 under exchange service agreements for last year, but for this upcoming year, it'll be $415 per inmate.
Okay, thank you. Spending on salaries went over budget last year, and there's a budget increase for this item this year. What accounts for these figures?
Dan Chafe. These expenses are in relation to overtime and directly related to COVID, because a position when someone's off has to be backfilled.
Thank you. At the HMP, there's supposed to be a review done every time there's an incident. How many investigations were completed last year, and will the results for these investigations be made public?
Should you repeat the question and I guess be a little more specific about what you mean by incident?
According to my findings, there's supposed to be a review done every time that there's an incident at Her Majesty's Pen. Basically one involving violence. And therefore, how many investigations were completed last year? And with these investigations, will their findings be made public?
Any use of force incident is reviewed on a daily basis, and then we try to use lessons learned. I don't have that number here today, though.
Okay, thank you. Do the investigations that you do involving violence, do they be made available to the public?
And Chief, not really, no. Unless it's of a serious nature.
With regards to the Correction Center for the Women in Clarenville, what supports are currently in place for women who are released from custody but do not have financial means to return home?
Dan Chafe. We work with Stella Burry, and also we are required to return inmates back to their home community to which they were arrested.
Just a further question to that. If they don't have the means to be able to support themselves in their home community, like in terms of an apartment or accommodations, is there any resources made available to help them?
Dan Chief. Yeah, we do a release plan with our classification officer, so we make all those connections upon release.
Okay,
so that they have somewhere to go.
Thank you. Are there any plans this year to improve the cultural supports for Indigenous inmates on the island, especially those who are far from home and in a foreign cultural environment?
We are expanding LCC in Labrador, which will be able to accommodate females, which will be a much-needed improvement. As well, we are working with our staff to do Indigenous training that is going to happen annually.
Thank you. The budget for employee benefits has increased. Why is this so?
Andrew Green. So that's an increase as part of the FILO agreement, or Family Information Liaison Units, and that's for the victim services staff to avail of culturally sensitive training.
Okay. The actual expenditures for supplies, professional services, property, furnishings, and equipment were over budget last year. Why was this the case?
That would be in relation to safety equipment and any supplies for COVID.
Okay, thank you. Why has the budget increased for professional services from last year?
Andrew Green. So in this adult corrections allocation, there's a restatement of health expenditures, which would occur in the professional services line. But the middle column for the revised is what our expenditures were. So that wasn't restated. So we've moved money out into the Department of Health or Eastern Regional Health Authority for health expenditures.
Thank you. What accounts for the variation in the figures for the federal revenue?
Dan Chief, we have an exchange of services agreement with the federal government, and that rate is recalculated annually. And this year, it's basically based on the total expenses divided by the average inmate count. And so because our count was a little lower, we actually have an increase in rate of $100 per bed night for federal inmates.
Okay, 4.2.02, youth secure custody. Why was the spending on salaries lower than expected last year?
Where was the salaries what?
Sorry, why was the spending on salaries lower than expected?
Andrew Green, so there was some vacant positions that were held vacant because there wasn't the number of residents that required the positions to be filled at the time.
I think that's just an anticipation of increased legal services. Anticipation of increased legal fees.
Under 4.201, adult corrections. Transportation and communication last year, there was savings of $109.4, and despite saving money, the line item is increasing this year. Can you please provide some detail?
Dan Chief. Basically, the budget has increased because of a spend analysis that was conducted to better fit what was actually needed. We were over what was budgeted last year due to backfilling. So we don't think that'll continue once COVID goes away.
Okay, thank you. I have a question about the inmate disciplinary process. We know that there was
reporting in March about the disciplinary process within provincial courts. And actually, in a news article, the minister indicated that a new independent oversight process would replace what is now referred to, or what it was referred to as a kangaroo court. Can you just give us an update on that, provide some information? Is there going to be a new process? And if so, when will it be introduced?
Denise Woodrow. We're currently working on regulations to finalize that process and expect to have them this fiscal.
Okay, thank you. Do you have any further information about what it will look like?
Not that we're prepared to discuss. It's not been finalized at this point.
Okay, thank you. Under the bail supervision program, I'm wondering, I know that under the strategic plan for justice 2020-23, by March 31st, 2021, the department should have implemented the bail supervision program. And then when we look at the annual report in 2020-21, the deadline has been pushed so that the bail supervision program would be operationalized by March the 31st, 2022. So can we be given an update on the progress towards the bail supervision program, please?
Denise Woodrow. So again, this year we were impacted by the limitations of the court because the probation officers have to have time in the lockup to meet with people who were there to work with them to kind of come up with a bail supervision plan. So because we weren't able to do that, we have to push forward now and see where we're going with our increased operations due to COVID being kind of at an end from that perspective.
Okay. The electronic monitoring pilot program. I understand last year there were 7 units in use. Can you give us an update? How many units do we have in the province? How many are in use, please?
Denise Woodrow. Currently, we have approximately 20 or 21 people who are on availing of the electronic monitoring program. We have capacity from 30 up to 60. So that we can increase the usage of that. I'm looking forward to having that increase this year. There's been some technology updates that kind of match the program with what's available. And so we should see some increase in that use this year.
Okay, thank you. And just on the theme of restorative justice initiatives and the program, the minister earlier referred to a MUN group that approached them, and there's a 3-year plan, and I think it was mentioned $600,000 involved in this, and so that sounds very encouraging. I'm just wondering, can you tell us the name of this group and elaborate a little further on it, please?
How do you say it? Yeah, I'm asking my deputy because I don't want to say the person's name wrong. It's Dr. Dorothy Vanderling.
Vanderling?
Vanderling.
Vanderling,
yeah, mm-hmm. at Memorial University.
Okay, and
answered. Good luck and Google that. Spell it right.
Okay, and so do we have any ideas to when we're gonna see that, or do you have any time?
Like I said, she was only made aware of the funding grant 1 week ago today. So mm-hmm. We'll get working with her right away. She's quite excited.
Good. So do we know what the program is going to look like? Do you have any idea? I mean, it's pretty general. At this point.
Go ahead.
Dennis Mahoney. Yes. We have an accountability agreement with Memorial University and Dr. Vanderling for the oversight of the program, and there will be a steering committee, and it will be represented through the Department of Justice and Public Safety, and the Department of Education will have senior representatives on that steering committee to ensure that there's a close connection between the funding that's been provided, the oversight of the program, and also the lessons learned and the knowledge transfer back into government.
Okay. Now with respect to programming with the HMP and replacement of the HMP, can you provide an update on the replacement of the HMP?
Yeah, so that's in the Department of Transportation and Infrastructure, but they're working on it, and everything that the status of it has been made public in terms of sending out the request for qualification, I think, or we're doing a request for tenders. I'm not quite sure where it is with that. Does anyone?
Denise Woodrow, yes, just to pick up on what the minister was saying, there was a request for qualification. We're currently working through the process with one bidder. It's a consultation process that goes back and forth while the technical requirements for the prison are established, and we'll be expecting a bid at the end of that process.
Okay, thank you. While a new facility is needed, you know, it's clear, it's obvious, we need increased and new program services in our correctional facilities. So has there been, are you exploring any new programs that can be implemented within HMP while we're waiting for the replacement facility?
So just to be clear on the question, is it what's programs that are now at HMP as opposed to new programs that
can be,
the new facility is obviously going to be built with that in mind to provide for those programs, where I'm sure those things weren't in mind 150 years ago when HMP was built. So there's a plan, of course, to when it is built to make space for those programs. But it's the question, what are the programs now at HMP?
Well, I'm just curious if there are going to be any new programs, because, you know, in the interim, until we actually see the new facility up and running, what is being done at the current HMP in terms of trying to have more programming for the inmates that are currently there? Yep,
so I'm sure you can speak to the current programs.
Hi, Dan Chief. We've got some great partnerships with Stellaberry, John Howard Society, and Canadian Mental Health Association. And ironically, through COVID, we've been doing more with video because we couldn't move as much, and so even video visits have been improved. We don't have... I think we're doing everything we can with the facility we have, and I'm sure that those stakeholders will give input on the new facility and perhaps expand what they do.
Yes.
And recently we had discussions with Stellaberry and John Howard Society, and provided a grant to each of them in the amount of $200,000 to help with the ongoing work that they have in the province.
Okay, thank you. Let's see. Now, the question was raised by a member from Torn Gate Mountains about the Clarenville Women's Correctional Facility, and I've also I've met with a number of advocates and organizations in this province. A number of them have talked about the Women's Correctional Facility in Clarenville and the reported poor conditions and trouble getting health services. So I'm wondering, is there a plan in place to help improve conditions in Clarenville?
Dan Chief, we work with TI to make any amendments to the building itself. But as each occurrence comes up that there's a deficiency, we try to address those as quickly as possible.
Okay, thank you. And just going back to the minister indicating that you know, there's been partnerships with John Howard and Stellaberry. Has there been any connection with the Elizabeth Fry organization in terms of you know, partnering with them?
Dennis Mahoney, we've had ongoing discussions with the Elizabeth Fry organization, and just as recently as this morning, we had received further communication from them, and myself and one of our ADMs will be establishing a further meeting with them actually later this month.
That's great to hear. Thank you. Just a couple... Thank you. Oh, I'm done. Thanks.
MHA Evans.
Thank you. Just going back to 4.2.02, youth secure custody, the change in salaries, you said there was vacant positions. I was just wondering, would you be able to tell us what type of positions were vacant?
Andrew Green. So the vacancies would have been youth care counselors.
And just looking at the budget there for 4.2.02 youth secure custody, was there accommodation made for inflation?
Sorry, what? Can you repeat that?
Just looking at the youth secure custody, the budgets there, just due to inflation, was there any accommodations made because of the type of service that is provided?
Andrew Green. No, there was no adjustments made to the budget for inflation.
Okay, thank you.
That's all my questions.
Thank you. Under 4.201, out of corrections, can the minister provide an overview of the capacity of each of the facilities, the correctional facilities, and if they are full, have space available, and if so, how much?
Dan Chief, what was your question about capacity? Sorry, was
there... I'm just wondering what the capacity of each facility is. Are they full? Is there space available? If so, if there's space, how much?
Sure. So I'll go down through each facility first for capacity. So HMP has 175. St. John's Lockup is 26. And this is available beds, by the way. Women's Center is 26. Cornerbrook Detention Center is 17. Both LCC and the West Coast Correctional Center have 63. We've been lucky over the past couple of years with COVID that we've only been about 80% full. Once the pandemic hit, it seems like counts went down, which allowed us the ability to move people around in spaces, so it's been good.
It's good news. With respect to the GESO report, I know this was raised earlier, but and I know there were, I believe, 17 recommendations, and I understand that it was stated that most of those recommendations have been implemented, I think it was stated. I'm just curious, which recommendations are outstanding?
I think at this point, the only recommendations that are left outstanding are in relation to the need for the new facility. So there are things that we can address when we have the new facility.
Okay, thank you. Under 4.202, Youth Secure Custody, just have a couple of questions. Transportation communication. Last year, there was savings of $9,000. Can you please provide some detail?
Andrew Green, so that would be reduced resident and staff travel.
And that would be, again, due to COVID, more so? Or?
I can't say why there was reduced residents, but it could be attributed to COVID.
Okay. Professional services. Last year, $275.5 was spent on professional services. Can you please provide some detail on what professional services are included here?
Andrew Green. So the professional services here would be... medical supports for the residents.
Okay. And what would those supports be exactly?
That could be a doctor, dentist, or psychology or psychiatry.
Okay, thank you. And the last question on this heading for me is revenue federal. There's a decrease in the anticipated revenue for this year. Can you please explain why?
Andrew Green. So the IRCS agreement, or the Intensive Rehabilitative Custody and Supervision Agreement, expired and it wasn't finalized. It's being finalized now, but it wasn't finalized in time for the budget. So when it's finalized, you might see an increase in actual expenditure next year, and then that'll be reflected on a go forward in the budget.
Okay. Thank you. That concludes my questions for these estimates.
MHA Evans, are you concluded? All right. I ask the clerk to recall the grouping.
Public Protection, 4.1.01 to 4.2.02 inclusive.
Shall 4.1.01 to 4.2.02 inclusive carry? All those in favor? Carried. I ask the clerk to call the next grouping.
Fire and Emergency Services, 5.1.01 to 5.1.05 inclusive.
5.1.01 to 5.1.05. Okay, we'll start up again. I ask the clerk to call the next grouping.
Fire and Emergency Services, 5.1.01 to 5.1.05 inclusive.
5.1.01 to 5.1.05 inclusive. MHA Wall.
Thank you, Madam Chair. 5.1.01 salaries. Last year there was a salary savings of 38.8. Can you please give us some details as to why?
Andrew Green, that was a vacant position.
Okay, thank you. Can you please tell us what the position was?
That would have been a fire protection officer.
Thank you. Under transportation and communications, last year there was a savings of 42.5, and despite saving money, the budget for this year's line item is still in the $100,000 range. Can you please provide some insight on that?
Andrew Green. So to address the budget, we would have built the budgets with a non-pandemic related expenditure. So, and the reason it was down was because our staff were not able to travel to attend training. Okay. So we we're hoping that that will be fully operational this year.
Okay. Thank you for that. Under supplies, last year supplies were over by 32.3. I guess, can you please explain why? I guess I might know the answer, but can you please explain why?
So there was additional supplies purchased. I think in this case there was some satellite radios that we purchased that were aged out.
Okay. Thank you for that. Sat radios are quite important. Under purchase services, last year 110.6 was budgeted, 82.6 was spent, and this year is 102.5. Can you please provide some insight on this particular variance?
Andrew Green. So again, this is related to the pandemic and the training. So when they travel for training, they have a travel expenditure, but when they go to do the training, they might need to rent a facility and AV equipment. So there's a reduction in travel for training, which also impacted this line.
Okay. And does the department have plans for training for this coming year?
Andrew Green. Yeah, the department would expect their mandate to be delivered as normal.
Under grants and subsidies, can you please outline where the 216 went and why the full amount was not disbursed?
Andrew Green. So the variance was due to the cancellation of the annual dinner for the NL Association of Fire Services.
Okay.
And so the grant for fire assistance. So we have $40,000 operating grant for Newfoundland Labrador Fire Services. There's the annual convention dinner, which I referenced, which didn't occur. There's the Learn to Burn campaign, which is $61,000. And there's funding for outside municipal boundaries, regional training initiatives, hazmat response, hazmat training, which is approximately $125,000.
Okay, so the $40,000 for training, that would be for volunteer firefighters throughout the province? Is that the training you're referring to?
Yes.
And that training will go ahead this coming year?
That's the intent, yes.
Thank you. Under 5.1.02, salaries. Despite having salary savings last year, the salary budget has increased to 852.4. Can you please explain why?
Andrew Green. So in this salary savings would have been a vacant position, and I believe it was emergency services, I forget what they're called, the regional planning position. It's currently vacant. There's an increase in the budget for salaries here is the radio project or the radios. We have an announcement on radios, like there's money in here for radios. There's an office for that radio division, and there's three positions for that. And as part of the recommendations for the GSAR inquiry, there's a position here one time under emergency services that would support the implementation, work with NLSARA to support the implementation of those recommendations.
Yeah, so just on two follow-ups on that. When I said there was you saw earlier there was a $900,000 increase for grants, and that was GSAR, the NLSARA. But the budget would have said $1 million, so the $100,000 is here. So that's where you get the million. You get $100,000 for position, and you get the $900,000 for the grant that NLSARA can deal with as well. And, the province-wide radio was a large announcement in the budget yesterday. I think we've had one individual working on this just by himself. That's right, one person. So he's carried a heavy load, and now he's brought it to the point where a contract is going to be signed. And obviously now to implement that contract is going to cost money. We need people. We need resources. So that's where the funding is for that.
Thank you, Minister. Under transportation and communications, could you please explain to us why this line item was over budget by 255 and 255.8 was spent? I'm also interested to know why the budget is being increased to 293. Please.
Andrew Green. So the overage in the budget would have been aerial support required for the southwest rain event. The increased budget is due to the radio's office, so there's intended travel for that office to go out and implement training with respect to the new radios that everyone will have.
Okay. Thank you. Under professional services, the budget for this year is $1,020,000. Can you please outline what this will be for?
It's a province-wide radio project.
Thank you. And under purchase services, the budget this year is $13,997,200. Can you please outline what that will be for?
So again, that's for the province-wide radio project. This number will be for startup and early access services that's going to be provided.
Thank you. Under 5.1.03, disaster assistance. Under salaries, last year the salaries budget went over by 85.5. This year the budget is being increased to 275.9. Can you please outline the staffing complement here and what particular changes are going to occur?
Andrew Green. So with the we only really generally have one position here, so then we add staff. We have a bunch of temporary positions that are open and available when we have events. So we added staff to help administer the events that occurred last year, in addition to an auditor position that is required for final processing of previous old events.
Okay. Thank you. Under professional services, could you please explain the variance in that line item and what services would be included?
Andrew Green. So when Hurricane Larry hit, there was an expenditure related to having an assessor go out, and so we didn't anticipate that was going to happen. So it happened. So then we had to, incur the expenditures.
Okay. Thank you. Under allowances and assistance, could you please provide some context to this particular line item?
That's the whole disaster program.
Andrew Green. So what is included in this?
Yes, please.
So allowances and assistance is for claims under the DFAA program for personal property.
Okay. Thank you. Under grants and subsidies, the same thing. Could you please provide some context where that would what that's for?
Andrew Green. So under the DFAA program, that's for claims by municipalities.
Thank you. Under revenue federal, could you please give us some explanation as to regarding that particular funding? There was nothing received last year, and almost $21 million expected this year.
Andrew Green. So the 6.8 that we budgeted for that was what we expected to be an interim payment from a previous event, and I think it was the Thanksgiving rainstorm event from 2016. When we approached federal government, they said we needed to audit our expenditures first, which is why we hired the auditor, so that claim was premature in our expectation for an interim payment. And then the allocation for the 20.9, Heather, do you have that one?
Heather Jacobs, yes, for the 20.9, we're expecting $17 million for the rainstorm in 2016. We're expecting $500,000 for Mud Lake and $4.4 million for Hurricane Larry from the federal government.
So that item. Thank you very much. That's all for me, Madam Chair.
All right, thank you. MHA Evans.
Thank you. This is... most of my questions have already been answered. Just looking at 5.1.03, disaster assistance. We're already starting to see and feel the effects of climate change impacting our properties and our ability to carry out a lot of our programs. So with these effects being felt now, increased wind events, blizzards, floods, hurricanes even, given that we're expecting more extreme weather events, are we setting more money to deal with the damage?
So this entire portion of the budget is based on the disaster assistance fund agreement with the feds.
Yeah.
So, when an event like that occurs, like what you're describing, we'll make an application if it meets the threshold to apply to the federal government for assistance. So the large chunk of the money is coming from the federal government through this plan.
Yes, but
it's difficult to budget for weather events, as you can imagine.
And also, there's a delay in getting
it's
that
quite
money.
Clear that the numbers here are jumping around, and they're getting large, and then going away, and then coming back. So it takes time to work through the details of the plan. The federal government obviously asking for audits or making sure that we're being thorough and they're being thorough before the money flows.
Yes, and like I said, there's a delay in actually getting that money, right? 5.1.04, fire protection vehicles and equipment. The budget for grants and subsidy has decreased. How many vehicles are we buying this year?
We hope to buy 7 or 8 vehicles this year.
And do you have the areas that are going to be purchased, allotted, identified?
Not at this time. We have to wait to receive the applications, and the fire commissioner will evaluate them all, and then in discussion with the minister, we'll determine the allocation.
Thank you. 5.1.05, NL911. How do these numbers, the numbers that's listed there, how do they reflect the integration of the NL911 into your department?
So this, as you know, this is the first time we'll take a 911 into the Department of Justice and Public Safety. So the numbers reflect the same budget that's been used by NL911 previous year.
Okay. Spending on the professional services is projected to increase. What will the money for this increase be spent on?
It's the contractual positions. So that money is for the contractual positions, the two PSAP. Contracts that we have with municipalities in St. John's and Corner Brook, basically for the phone answering services.
Okay, thank you. I'm done with my questions.
Chair Wall.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
5.1.04, fire protection vehicles and equipment. I have to ask, can you please explain why there's a decrease in that grant line from 2.7 to 1.8? Because I do know it's not the less of a need across the province.
You do know it. It's less than the need. Yeah, no kidding. Andrew can correct me if I'm wrong here, but I don't think it's a decrease. I think the baseline is 1.8. The 2.7 was a one-time increase.
Thank you, Minister. I know it was my honourable colleague asked the question, and the response was 7 or 8 vehicles that was going to be purchased for 1.8. Do you have a breakdown of what vehicles will be purchased from 1.8? Because I know from a pumper vehicle point of view, it's 450 to 500,000. So for 1.8 million, do you know what the breakdown would be for those 7 or 8 vehicles?
Have we made those decisions? What was that made?
Sorry, Heather Jacobs. Not at this time. We have to wait to receive the applications to see what they are, and then the fire commissioner will sit down and review them all, and then in consultation with the minister, we'll determine the breakdown. It's not done at this time. It's too early.
Thank you. So the fire commissioner hasn't brought over the applications yet, the number of them, or he has received them, just that the department doesn't have them?
I have not seen them at this time.
I haven't seen the applications either.
Okay. Can you give us a time frame as to when that's going to roll out, or what normally would happen with respect to those applications?
I can tell you what happened last year. So I know the applications, I think, were probably on my desk. I don't know if I wasn't sworn in on April 8th, 2021, to be honest with you. And I think the applications were probably on my desk that day, and letters were written over the course of, I mean, this is subject to check, maybe, 6 or 8 months or something like that, maybe a little bit sooner. So it's on my timeline, I guess, once I have the applications to make the decision about where the money goes, like in consultation with the fire commissioner. Done on day one. It could be done the day before next year's budget. So, yeah.
Thank you, Minister. And I do appreciate last year when we were sworn in, it was later in the year, but I have heard from many municipalities with respect to fire and emergency services equipment, and they are... no doubt in dire need. So, Minister, the funding that was going to be given out this year, how will that be determined based on the need of the province, different areas of the province? I do know that there's a vast number of outdated vehicles throughout our province, and that certainly makes a difference to the individuals in each municipality. So How will that funding be determined? Just based solely on years of the infrastructure?
So it's based on the applications. You know, I assume anyone's making an application is in need of whatever they're asking for. And you know, just to be clear that this is a program to assist municipalities. It's not a responsibility of the Department of Justice and Public Safety to provide all this equipment and fire trucks.
Understood.
You know, that's just not possible financially. So I understand that municipalities throughout the province are looking for help and seeking help. But it is the responsibility of each individual entity to staff up and to get equipment and trucks as they need. Obviously, they do need assistance, and this is the point of that program. But this program can't be delivered to every fire hall in the province. It's just not enough money.
Yep. Thank you, Minister. Do you have a dollar figure of the total ask for this year from the municipalities?
No, I haven't seen the number. I'm going by memory. Was it $18 million last year was the ask? That'd be subject to check as well.
Heather Jacobs, my understanding that we have, and I haven't seen, Minister, I haven't seen these, we have a 9.2 million applications for fire trucks.
Thank you. Thank you for that. Under 5.1.05, professional services, the budget for professional services is increasing to 2.382,600. Can you please explain why and what services are particularly included here?
I'm Andrew Green. So again, this is a transition budget. So we would have taken the budget that they would have already had approved in the accruals for the previous year. And the expenditure is for the locations in City St. John's and Corner Brook to provide call center services.
Okay. Thank you for that. That's all the questions that I have, Madam Chair. I'd just like to say thank you to the Minister. No doubt an important role, but as equally important, and depending on the day, more important from the team around you. So thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Okay. M.H. Evans, are you finished, or do you have any additional questions?
No additional questions, Speaker, but I just wanted to make a comment while everyone is here. During COVID, we did move a lot to online and phone for court hearings. And I just want to make a statement that as COVID settles down, it's very important for us to actually move back in my district to the presence of individuals who are participating because court is very intimidating for people on the North Coast. But also there's a culture of quietness and not really engaging in speaking. And so when I guess your freedom is at stake, protection of individuals who are showing up before the courts are at stake, it's very, very important for us to have the court present, the lawyers, the defense, and that interaction, that social interaction that's so important to the individuals, whether they're the defendant or they're the victim in a case. So as we move away from COVID, I just want to say to everyone here, it's very, very important for us to be able to go back to the way of dealing with things where we do have a physical presence that would help people who are Inuit in my district. Thank you.
Okay, I ask the clerk to recall the grouping.
Fire and Emergency Services, 5.1.01 to 5.1.05, inclusive.
Shall 5.1.01 to 5.1.05, inclusive, carry?
Okay.
Carries. I ask the clerk to call the final vote.
The totals.
Can I make one comment before? Just, it's okay.
Go ahead.
Sorry, we haven't answered one of the MHA comments. There's questions that we were going to get later, so I just get it now and put it on the record. In terms of vacancies, there's 65 vacancies greater than 66 months right now. Okay, sorry about that. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Ask the clerk to call the final vote.
The total.
Shall the total carry? Carried. Shall I report the estimates of the Department of Justice and Public Safety? Carried. Okay, so just before we end, the next meeting will be on April the 12th at 6 p.m. It's the Municipal and Provincial Affairs Estimates. Can I ask for a mover to adjourn the meeting? The meeting has been adjourned. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.